Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know him as the regular Wednesday at 5:20 guest here from the MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's Albert Breer. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, man. What's up? I just got done witnessing your Carolina Panthers getting into a few fracases up here.
Yeah. What's going on between the Panthers and Patriots with the myriad of fights and people going into the sands?
Lots of throwing hands, yeah. So Christian Wilkerson, who's sort of like a roster bubble receiver for the Patriots, got into a fight yesterday, and then he took like just a shot from somebody, this safety today, and he knocked him out. The safety like hung over him and flexed, and then that started a fight. And then a little bit later, one of the Patriots, I believe it was Dietrich Wise, took Christian McCaffrey to the ground. And given McCaffrey's stature and injury history, you can imagine how that went over with the Panthers. So lots of back and forth. But I think part of it is too, is like, we're sort of at the end of like real training camp. Like next week starts like the dress rehearsals for games and everything else. And so I think it's probably a lot of guys that are like a little pissed off in general, you know, and so you put them out there on a field with unfamiliar people and this is what you get.
Albert, I've heard coaches talk a lot about how much they love these joint practices, whether it's early in camp or even right now. Why do teams like them so much?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think the first thing is it allows you to generate situations. And so you can go 60 snaps, your first offense versus their first defense, and the coaches can work together to make sure they get out of the session what they want to get out of the session. Whereas in a preseason game, as much as you might try, you can't really do that, you know? So generating red zone opportunities, generating 2 minute, generating third and long, generating fourth and short, you can do all that, you know? And so you're going to get a lot of different looks at your players and what your team looks like in certain situations. So that's number one. Number two, you can control it a little bit better. And so, it can mean, like, for certain veterans, you can make sure that they're not getting dragged to the ground. So, and I think that's part of, like, why the McCaffrey thing, like, was a big deal today is, you know, in a lot of cases, these joint practices, there are certain veterans where it's like, all right, like, we want to be careful with that guy, you know? I think the way, like, a lot of the coaches look at it is I can get the situations I want to see. I can get the sort of controlled environment that I want. I can reduce the injury risk, and I can ramp my guys up for the season. You know, and I think that's why you're seeing more teams saying, you know, the hell with the preseason games. There's no need to take on that risk. Maybe we don't get the full speed component of the preseason games, but we can get close enough, and there are all these other benefits to doing it that way. And, oh, by the way, like, I would say this, too, for, like, fans who think they're getting screwed when they're paying full prices for preseason game tickets, right? go to the joint practices. I actually think for fans, it's a fantastic take. Like, if I'm a fan, like, I'd say it's a much better take than going to a preseason game.
Albert Breer of the MMQB on the hotline here with Nick Wilson on Afternoon Drive. Of course, Albert, another day, another 17 reports on Deshaun Watson and the ongoing situation here. There seems to be more momentum. I don't know if that means more momentum than not, that a settlement between the NFL and NFLPA is going to happen. So I'll just ask you, what was the turning point where all of a sudden we got this momentum or any momentum towards a settlement between the two parties?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a realization of sort of where you're at. Like, I think with Sue Robinson, you know, this is something that, you know, I'm not sure enough people paid attention to. It certainly slipped under the radar while it was going on, but, you know, like, everybody's like, why is it taking so long for Sue Robinson? She actually informed the parties back at the end of June, beginning of July, that she wasn't going to rule until the beginning of August. And why? The reason why she did that, at least, I mean, logically, would be because she wanted to create a five-week window to create, like, to for the sides to try to work out a settlement. Because judges have the parties involved work out, you know, an agreement on their own. And so, you know, like, they did make progress. I mean, that's the bottom line. Like, if you look at it, like, before that, they'd made almost no progress. The league was dead set on a year. Watson's camp didn't think that there should be anywhere near that sort of penalty. Watson's camp didn't want to take treatment. Watson's camp didn't want to take a fine. And so you had this stalemate. Well, creating that five-week window pushed them closer, where Watson was willing to take on 6 to 8 games, and the league was willing to give him a 12-game suspension, which is short of a year, of course, and then, like, about a $10 million fine. So they weren't close, but they were closer. And so I think that where you are now with this second phase of it is, Peter Harvey feels like, well, if Sue Robinson could get them to make that much progress, maybe if I give them some time, they'll actually strike a deal. And so I think that's sort of where they are now, you know, is that I think, you know, what we've seen was the league back, you know, in the beginning of July, middle of July, was getting their side out there because they felt like Sue Robinson wasn't going to rule in their favor. They were right about that. They want to push out the notion we want a year. And now I think you're seeing the reverse happen where Deshaun Watson's camp is a little uncomfortable and thinking that Harvey could rule against them. And so they're pushing out there that they're willing to accept a fine now, that they're willing to continue a treatment now. And so, you know, I think the three components could be in place where it's a certain number of games, it's a willingness to take on a fine, and it's a willingness to agree to a treatment plan. I think what's left is for the sides to agree to what those numbers are going to be and what the time's going to be and all of that. And I can't say for sure that they're going to reach a settlement, but it certainly feels like there's a chance.
Albert, one of the big things that has come out of this is the idea that the NFL is very image conscious. That's something we've talked with you about.
Yep.
trying to prove everybody that they take this serious, the egregious nature of the accusations against Deshaun Watson. So let's play this out. You know, what does a win for the NFL look like in the end result of these settlement talks?
Sure. So, like, I think the PR aspect of it, like, I think the $10 million number is relevant to them. Because, and you see Deshaun got it out there that he'd be willing to go to five. The $10 million number is relevant to them because that would mean they could point back at Deshaun sitting out the 2021 season and say, you know what, that was actually basically a suspension. If you're taking the $10 million away, which would have been his base salary for 2021, you can say, look, like, he was sitting out that season because of this situation. It's the only reason he was sitting out this season. Was because of this situation, and now we're taking back the money for that season. So we can now look at that retroactively as a suspension. And Nick, if you can combine that with a 12-game fine, you know what they can say? They can say that's a 29-game fine, right? Like, so that's over a year and a half fine. And at that point, they could actually make the argument, we went close to as far with this as Major League Baseball went with Trevor Bauer, which was 2 years. And I can tell you for sure that they're cognizant of those sorts of comparisons being out there. And so I think if you're talking about the PR piece of this, that's why I think the monetary fine is so important, because I think it allows the NFL to point back at 2021 and say that was a de facto suspension.
Albert, you know, Dustin and I together are co-conductors of the Jimmy G Express here in Cleveland. If the suspension for Deshaun ends up where you kind of talked about 12 games here, what is the latest on the Jimmy Garoppolo situation? And do you think this is going to come all the way down till cut down day, or till that contract becomes fully guaranteed?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Niners, a huge part of this is, like, we don't want to, like, cut off our nose to spite our face here, you know, and we've already sunk a lot of money into Jimmy, and, you know, Jimmy made the decision to get his surgery when he got his surgery, and, you know, I don't know if they really begrudge him that anymore, but it's sort of like you put us in this situation, so, like, now we've got to look out for ourselves, and God, would we look stupid if we cut you and then the next day somebody's starting quarterback tears his ACL. And I think we almost saw it happen with Zach Wilson. I mean, you think about that situation, Nick. If Zach Wilson, like, needed a meniscus repair rather than just a trim and was out for the 2022 season, well, then the Jets would be looking at this like, all right, like, who makes most sense for us? Jimmy Garoppolo played for Michael Flohr, the offensive coordinator of the Jets, was Jimmy Garoppolo's quarterback's coach in San Francisco for 4 years. So, you know, I think it's one of those sorts of things where it's, yeah, this is painful and it's awkward and it's weird, but, like, they're waiting to see if something happens before that $24.2 million base for 2022 gets locked in. Whether or not, like, something material changes with some quarterback situation elsewhere in the league, nobody can really predict that. But, you know, I would think at least through the last preseason game and the cutdown, they're probably looking at it and saying, we don't want to, like, get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo until we absolutely know we're not going to be able to get value back for him.
Albert, I know your article today started with focusing on Bengals and the training camp return of Joe Burrow. We've talked a little bit about his health and that offensive line and maybe some of that Super Bowl, the struggle to repeat the success of last year. Is there any concern in Cincinnati about trying to live up to last year's success?
No. I mean, you talk about you guys being the conductors of the Jimmy G Express. Like, I am the conductor of the Joe Burrow freight train. You know, like, I felt like early last year, like, this guy was, like, as close to Tom Brady as I've ever seen a young player. And I know that's a heavy thing to put on him, but just as far as the intangible qualities, like, kind of how he plays the game, his calm and big moments, all of that, like, I see that in him. And so, like, having a quarterback like that, to me, is the most stabilizing thing an NFL franchise can have. And so the way I see it is, as long as Joe Burrow's there, their baseline is they'll be contending for the playoffs. And then you look at the talent around him, and, I mean, do you really see, like, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon, do you see those guys regressing? Like, do you see the defense getting a lot worse with the amount of new guys they were incorporating last year that were still getting their feet wet and played their best games, like, in the playoffs? The offensive line's obviously the question, but, I mean, I think by the end of the year they're going to be better there too. So, I think Joe Burrow gives them a chance to contend each and every year from here on out as long as he's healthy. And I think they've got a pretty good team around him. And as long as he's on his rookie deal, which may only be for one more full season, I think the Bengals are going to be in a prime position to compete at the highest level. And then obviously, you know, once he gets his next deal, the dynamic changes a little bit. But I think Joe keeps them at an above 500 level for the foreseeable future.
Albert Breer of the MMQB, this obviously his weekly hit here on a hump day edition of Afternoon Drive. Albert, we got so much more football in front of us. Hopefully we get a resolution of the Deshaun Watson thing. So once again, I keep saying this every time we end our interviews.
Yeah,
so we can get back to talking football with you, buddy.
I know it. I know. I mean, I think it'll be next week, but I mean, I think we'll be able to talk about regular football, back to talking about like normal football stuff next week, maybe wrapping this thing up. I certainly think that there's a possibility of a deal here soon.
All right, buddy. Great stuff. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Albert Breer of MMQB. We got Aaron Wilson of the Pro Football Network coming up on more minutiae with Deshaun Watson and a potential settlement between the NFL and Players Association regarding the Deshaun Watson saga. But you just heard Albert there, and I thought it was really interesting, the idea that the NFL is trying to land this plane on getting it right, getting the win that they want. Sue Robinson's six-game suspension was not the win they wanted. Six games didn't look tough enough, which it's interesting that, you know, Albert talked about maybe a 12-game suspension, which is what they've wanted the whole time, because it would then, they're basically, the NFL is just trying to avoid that Houston game. They don't want to see Deshaun Watson in the field. I wouldn't be on the field against Houston in Houston on December 4th. I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL pushing that is the McNair family saying, we really don't want this on the field. Because Houston could be not just out of the playoff race at that point. Houston could be in control of the number one pick by that point if Davis Mills can't play football and isn't very good this year. If he can't follow up a good rookie season with a better sophomore season, that could be a complete loss for Houston going into that game, having Deshaun Watson come back and kick your ass at NRG Stadium. So I can understand why the McNairs don't want to see that. I can understand why Jack Easterby's Mephisto-looking ass doesn't want that to happen. I can't see why it matters all that much to Roger Goodell. I can't see why they have been so insistent on this. I wonder if they've used that as leverage to try and to basically try and get more games out of Deshaun Watson and his camp. But I think it's interesting, the other parts of the suspension. I think it's assuming a lot by the NFL to say that people are going to care that much about the fine. I think it's a lot. I actually think the most important thing in the entire situation is that Deshaun Watson agrees to get treatment. Because there's no way that you have the history, even if he, regardless of what he did or what he didn't do, there's no way you have the history of 60-plus massotherapists that you're searching out, specifically on Instagram, independent of the team, which then those then you have NDAs being signed by some of the people you've found on Instagram, facilitated by the Houston Texans, which we keep forgetting, by the way. Or conveniently forgetting, there's no way you have that pattern of behavior over 18 months and you don't need to talk to somebody professionally. Whether you're guilty or not, there's clearly something that isn't entirely above board by that. I think that might be the most important caveat if you're the NFL trying to sell the fans on, look what we got done here. The $10 million suspension is interesting. I think what I took away from what Albert had to say, if you guys have listened today, maybe I've talked about it too much and haven't focused on the Deshaun side of things or some of the other tributaries of the story. I think it's pretty apparent the NFL wants to be able to come away and say, look what we got done. Look how seriously we take this. I also think it's clear that the NFL is trying to process how they're going to sell the punishment beyond just 12 games. I personally don't know how many people are going to listen to the monetary fine, or sorry, the monetary compensation in this or the treatment. I think a lot of people are just going to focus on, is it 12 games? Is it 17 games? Expecting your audience or expecting your following, like the average NFL fan, to pay attention to the nuance of Deshaun has to seek treatment or Deshaun has to pay $10 million back, I think that's expecting a lot. But a 12-game suspension, $10 million fine, which again would negate the money he earned last year while not being suspended. He basically got paid to sit out the season. and the treatment part, I can see the NFL saying, okay, we can sell this to our partners. Okay, we can sell this to the fans. Because effectively, it would be a 29-game suspension. I don't know we should let the NFL have it. I don't know we should give the NFL the benefit of the doubt. But I can at least see where they would be going there. But it's going to be really rough if it ends up being 10 games versus 12 games. People are going to say, you made this whole stink. You appealed over Sue Robinson for four more games. I mean, even six games, when we put it like that, looks a little weak. 216-578-0092. I want to get back to the Browns part of this in a minute. We've all supposed here, if the NFL, if Deshaun Watson's willing to accept eight games, if the NFL agrees to really wants to settle at about 12 games or more, would a 10-game suspension for Deshaun Watson actually be a win for the Browns? I think it's the most amount of games where the Browns still come out of this feeling like they can sell something to you, the fans, and to their sponsors. But let's go to Todd here. Todd, would a 10-game suspension for Deshaun Watson, would you still have hopes for the Browns to be a playoff team this year if that was the suspension for Deshaun?
Hell no. Nah.
All right, I know you also called in about something else. What else do you have for us?
You asked where the Browns' most hated team in the league. There aren't enough people to have a belief that the Browns could get anything right to care enough to hate the Browns. So, no, they're not the most hated team in the league.
Who is?
I don't know. It ain't Cleveland. I can tell you that for sure. And in addition to that, there aren't enough advertisers that are offended about what happened with Deshaun Watson to care about the Browns to be the most hated team in the league, because they don't think the Browns can get it together either. I happen to think the Browns can get it together. And if Watson came out his mouth truthfully, if that is something that he said, that he would go along with eight games, which is really more than what it should be, and a $5 million fine, they should roll with that, man. I don't believe he needs any treatment, Nick. I really don't. What he is something that you see a lot in society. He's a dude that doesn't have enough good sense. He has some good sense, but he doesn't have enough good sense, and that just comes down to maybe a couple conversations. And he may have some issues with what the value is of money, which is why he's ending up having to spend this kind of dough because of his foolish behavior. The Browns can win this year, man. The Browns can win this year and go to the Super Bowl and win it. For real, they got it in them with him on the team. If the NFL wants to stick it to him, put some money on his head and leave it at that. But as far as any more games, that's petty-minded foolishness, man.
I see what you're saying to some degree, Todd, and I thank you for the call. I can't really get too upset about a 12-game suspension for Deshaun, given what he's accused of. I can't. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened, and I don't know how anybody can be sure of what did or didn't happen. We have to find out. I think for the Cleveland Browns, you're hoping for extremes. You're hoping for either the least amount of games possible, 8 to 10 games, or you're hoping for a full season so the contract can toll over and can free up that cap money this year.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.